Welcome to the 20th episode of the official ESPGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
Here I am again. That is for those of you who've listened to these podcasts before, or here I am for the first time, if you haven't. If you have comments on previous podcasts or on this one, we hope that you'll share them. We need feedback that can be supplied to us through the email address of office@espgan.com. Today's podcast is a bit special for me because it involves meeting for the first time, virtually, online, someone with whom I was in touch 7 or 8 years ago when I still lived and worked in London. He sent me materials from a case of liver disease asking for an opinion. I was happy to provide one. And we communicated. We emailed back and forth. This was unusual for me because our today's guest, Ozhash Abdrakhmanino, because today's guest, Ozhash Abdrakhmanov, is from Kazakhstan. I'd never met anybody from Kazakhstan before. For those of you who are a little bit fuzzy on your geography, as certainly I am, you go to Georgia, the Caucasus, Georgia, and head due east, and eventually you'll wind up in Almaty. Almaty is, I think, derived from the Turkic word for apple. And this is a little bit interesting to me because living in Hungary, I know that the word for apple is alma in Hungarian. So there's a link there in the languages, and now there's a link between Ozhash and me. And this is one of those interesting things that happens when the E in ESPGAN is far wider than Europe. ESPGAN has a reach that extends to Kazakhstan and beyond. And we're going to hear a little bit about what it's like to be a pediatrician with an interest in gastrointestinal and liver disease working at a university hospital in Kazakhstan. With that, Ozhash, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the listeners are.
Hello, Alex. Many thanks for inviting me to your podcast. I already hear all your meetings in the Zoom, in the podcast with other guests. It's a very pleasure for me because, as you said, I am a general pediatrician, and when I first sent you biopsy samples, I actually was a resident, and it was a pretty complicated case, and many thanks for your opinion, for sharing your opinions, and also many thanks that with your help I made a clinical, like a clinical observer in King's College Hospital in London, and with the help also Professor Anil Duan. Many thanks for this. It was very interesting for me. And it's for example, in my country, there are no any opportunities to become a pediatric hepatologist, and this I know it's a pretty short time, but 1.5 months in London, it gave me so many knowledge about pediatric liver diseases. And right now, I'm a pediatrician, but with interest in pediatric gastroenterology and hepatology.
A pediatrician with an interest in hepatology and gastroenterology. For those of you who don't have the advantage that I have, which is of a visual connection with Olzhas, he looks like all of my nephews by my brother Jonathan. My brother Jonathan is, of course, blonde and blue-eyed, Swedish and German, but he married a Han Chinese woman. And Olzhas is a handsome young man with dramatic eyebrows, born in 1993, so not even 30 years old yet. I think we need to learn a little bit more about what the educational process is by which people become doctors in Kazakhstan. When did you enter medical training?
Many thanks for this question. In Kazakhstan, after 11 years of the school, after that we choose our specialty. And it's about 5 years of general medicine. It's like a bachelor degree, 5 years. And after that, 2 years of internship, where we can choose between pediatrician, obstetric and gynecology, general surgery, and therapists. And after 2 years, we can choose our residency program, and I choose pediatric specialty, and it's plus 2 years, and it's about 9 years in medical school.
9 years in all. Yes. Now, you found yourself interested in pediatrics. Yeah, I think we're talking. Preaching to the converted again, as I've said on other occasions in these podcasts. Everybody who is listening knows that pediatrics is the best and highest form of medicine. But they know something more, something that most pediatricians don't know, which is that pediatric gastroenterology is even higher than that. How did you find yourself taking an interest in pediatric gastroenterology? Was it through a particular patient or a particular set of patients, or do you just like to play with endoscopes?
No. On my fourth year in my medical school, it's subject about orphan diseases in pediatrics. And
orphan
it's
diseases.
Yes, and these orphan diseases took place in Scientific Center of Pediatrics and General Surgery, where I'm working now.
And I'm going to interrupt you for just a moment. Listeners, this is the pediatric hospital in Kazakhstan. It's in the capital, and I'm sure that it's where all the interesting cases are referred.
Sure. Actually, Almaty is the south capital.
Ooh,
official capital is in Astana. And in this hospital, there is the department of general pediatrician, and where is all pediatric gastroenterology, liver or orphan diseases. Diagnosed and take a treatment options. And there I first time I see such diseases like Wilson's, glycogen storage diseases, inflammatory bowel diseases. And it's for me it was and it is very, very interesting, and I think it's 6 or 7 times ago I choose a pediatrician and pediatric gastroenterology.
But there's no real option for training specifically as a pediatric gastroenterologist in Kazakhstan, or is there?
We have general gastroenterology. General, it's 2 years, and it's on paper, it's 1 year the adult gastroenterologist and 1 year the pediatric gastroenterologist, but it's on a paper because actually all the teachers and doctors are adult gastroenterologists, and of course they cannot give any knowledge or experience in pediatric gastroenterology, and because of that it's 2 years it's actually adult gastroenterologist and liver disease, and because of that I choose pediatrician and not gastroenterology.
So you never went through the 2 years of official gastroenterology training?
Yes.
Of course, we all know that Kazakhstan was, until some years ago, part of the Soviet Union. And I imagine, this is speculation and nothing more, that there were in the past, academic relationships between your institution and institutions in Russia, in Moscow, perhaps in St. Petersburg, Leningrad. Were there options for you to train in Russia?
When I started my medical education, it's 2010, mm-hmm. and Kazakhstan it's not belong to Russia anymore, and our education it's something else, and I didn't have opportunities go to Moscow or St. Petersburg.
That was interesting then, that the educational systems were decoupled from one another, divorced from one another, at least in that respect, after the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Then you found yourself wanting to train in a combination of metabolic disease, these orphan disorders, and in pediatric gastroenterology, hepatology. I can certainly see how metabolic disease would lead one to an interest in liver disease, and from liver disease to hollow viscous disease. How have you attempted to train yourself? Because it sounds to me as if that's what you're doing. You don't really have older colleagues who have specialized in this area before, and you have to invent every bicycle that you ride.
Yes, you're right, Alex. When I started, I did this way. I had a patient, for example, it's glycogen storage disease, and I see this patient, and after that, I read everything in the literature, in the internet about this disease, and compare what I see in this patient and in the book, and what I can do in my country. This is one way, and in one book I read that doctors learn from their patient. This is my way. Another option, it's last 1 year I established a journal club in Kazakhstan. It's a journal club's name, it's Knights of Microbiome. For example, one of us make a little speech about one disease, and after that we have a discussion. Or another way, I typed to the doctors from all around the world, and who will answer me, who has a time and opportunity, also give a little speech in our journal club, and after that our doctors have an opportunity to ask questions. For example, on last Friday we have a wonderful discussion about autoimmune liver diseases, and it's our guest was doctor from Paris Necker Hospital. It's Dr. Florence Lacal.
Florence.
Yes, Florence.
Yeah, Florence. Isn't she something? Not to take away from our pleasure at having you here, but we really must try to get Florence on these podcasts because she's an absolute firecracker. Yes. Florence, I hope you're listening. Well, that's great. So you really are tapping into, through podcasts, through online contacts, and through ESPGHAN, various authorities who can bring you along. Tell me more about how you've been using ESPGHAN in particular to further your education and to help your patients.
Yes, thank you for this question. ESPGHAN really helps me because all the, for example, webinars or special your Journal of Pediatric Gastroenterology and Nutrition, and also last guidelines also helps me because, for example, when I treat patient with Wilson or with autoimmune hepatitis, my first source of knowledge it's ESPGHAN guidelines on this about this topic, and also I know about summer schools, but you know about pandemic, and after this I didn't yet have opportunity to visit summer schools, but I think I will.
So that's in the future, summer schools, but you do have access to generally accepted principles for treating disease, for diagnosing and for treating disease. How often, excuse me, how often are you confronted as you attempt to work according to these guidelines with, we can't do that here? For example, with Wilson disease, do you have access to copper quantitation in liver tissue samples? Or with glycogen storage disorders, do you have access to genetic analysis of the various genes that confer susceptibility to those disorders? What is available in Kazakhstan?
Many sense. For example, let me talk about Wilson's disease. We have access to thyroplasmin level, 24-hour urinary copper for MRI, but unfortunately we cannot measure copper content in the liver. We have Leipzig score, and when I have 4, okay, I think to myself maybe I don't need to perform biopsy.
What? And I'm a histopathologist. Bite your tongue.
Yes, sorry for this. And okay. As you mentioned about glycogen storage diseases, unfortunately, we don't have access to genetic testing. Only if the parents have opportunity to pay for this and send the send the blood samples. Only this way.
But this, at least the blood samples can be sent abroad. That's a good thing to learn and to know. I understand that in some Middle Eastern countries, all genetic testing has to be done within the country's borders, although I may have misunderstood that principle. It's good to know that you're able to, if funding is available, to avail yourself for your patient's benefit of resources outside the country. Now we come to the question of what to do for your patients, say, with Wilson disease or with, say, the portal hypertension that comes along with some of the congenital hepatic fibrosis. Eventually, you stand at a crossroads. Does the child die or does the child receive a liver transplant? Is liver transplantation available to you?
Yes, we have two centers, one in Almaty and one in the capital in Astana, who performed liver transplantation for children. Mm-hmm. But one of the main problem it's about donors. When our colleagues performed liver transplantation for children, it's every time it's donor it's mother or father. Yes, we have a little access to the cadaveric liver.
What explains that? What aspects of Kazakh culture are involved?
I think it's one thing. It's because our people don't know much about transplantation, about donorship, and another thing, it's not. So big problem, but it's about religions also.
Religion has all sorts of effects that play out in this area, doesn't it?
Yes.
Are you able, do you have access, for example, to the endoscopes that you would like? You've got a lot of pediatric gastroenterology seems to me to depend on what kit, what equipment can you get your hands on? And what availability is there for, say, endoscopic cholangiography? Is that one of your specialties?
Because I'm a pediatrician and not gastroenterologist, I don't perform endoscopy by myself. Okay. But we have endoscopy. We also have capsule endoscopy. But in pediatric population, we unfortunately don't perform RCP. We have access to MRCP, but not to endoscopic retropancreatography.
One interesting aspect of working in the United Kingdom, when I was there some little while ago, was that a good number of interesting disorders were showing up in the children of populations of English, of British citizens who were of consanguine background. It was not uncommon for persons from certain parts of the world who moved to the United Kingdom to continue to, to continue their preferences in choice of spouse that had been usual in the countries, in the cultures where they originated. Do you see in Kazakhstan perhaps an increased number of hereditary or heritable disorders because of marriages within extended families?
Yes. It's not a big problem for our country because when, for example, I would like to marry one girl, we should know our parents until seven relatives before. Seven generations before. And if we don't have any crossroads like this, we can marry. after
How
after
about
this.
That? Seven generations.
Yes.
I certainly couldn't tell you who my great grandparents' parents were, so I would never get married in Kazakhstan. This is tragic. Okay. Well, I'm too old to get married anyhow. So you have a culturally somewhat different background from that which applies in Europe. You have access to somewhat fewer resources directly in Kazakhstan, but through outreach and through your own efforts, you're able to make contact with persons who have acquired some expertise in laboratories who offer certain kinds of testing. And where do you see yourself and pediatric gastroenterology in Kazakhstan moving toward in the next few years? What are your goals for yourself and for your discipline?
In a sense, yes. Every day, 5 or 10 minutes, I think about this. Because, first of all, in the nearest, for example, 10 years, I really wanted when child has a gastroenterology or liver problem in my country, that he will have an access to all possible treatment options that doctors can give him in the United Kingdom or in USA. It's my.
That's a goal. That's quite a goal.
It's my main goal, and another one. It's also make a slow and good transition from pediatrics to adult gastroenterologists, another one that's all pediatric gastroenterologists that will be in the future also will be a good pediatricians. It's also, I think it's a very, very right thing.
Ozas, at the moment, I have the feeling that in pediatric gastroenterology care in Almaty, you may be a one-man band playing all the instruments by yourself. Do you have colleagues who are as dedicated and as interested as you? Are you attempting to select good trainees whom you can help to acquire professional education, perhaps in the West, perhaps elsewhere?
Yes, I have colleagues, pediatrician and pediatric gastroenterologist. Not so much, but I have. Also, we have a residency program, but it's still pediatric plus adult gastroenterology. But I think in the near future it will be divided, pediatric and adult gastroenterologists. And you're right, I try play on all instruments because I think about liver disease, I think about functional GI problems, I think about nutrition, about pancreatic disease, but I think it's not possible, but I try.
Well, I get a little bit the feeling that you're a bit of a one-man band. I mean, playing all the instruments by yourself. But that can't be true. You must have many colleagues who support you and who support your patients in providing the best pediatric gastroenterology care possible. Tell me a little bit about that, how that works.
Thank you. Of course, I am not a one-man band. It's a lot of my colleagues, my teachers, and we share thoughts about patients, our experience, and because because of my colleagues, I have opportunity to grow in my medicine field, and again, thank them very much.
Are you starting to identify young people, trainees, who have an interest in pediatric gastroenterology like yours? Are you starting to build up a cadre of future pediatric gastroenterologists?
I try to do it, but you know, one of the main problem, because when a trainee came to our hospital from gastroenterology field, all 7 years they learned about adult, and it's a very big problem with the pediatric population. They afraid children. And yes, and maybe they are interested in treating children, but unfortunately they afraid them.
Well, children are very small. That you have to agree, they're just so tiny. What if we do something wrong? But I was thinking more about pediatricians in training, whom you could support and mentor and perhaps send elsewhere for pediatric gastroenterology training, formal pediatric gastroenterology training, until that becomes available in Kazakhstan. Do you have young people who are interested in your discipline?
Yes, I have. They are general pediatrician, and they are in our department. Also, I invite them to my journal club, and try to give them a joy to be a pediatric gastroenterologist, and say to him it's very, very interesting specialty. And I think after that, one day they will woke up and say, I would like to be a pediatric gastroenterologist.
Let's hope that working through ESPGAN, through the contacts that you've made and continue to make, you'll be able to foster these young people and to make it even more attractive for them by finding opportunities for them to study abroad and to return with the knowledge that they garner by working under a Florence Lacaille or an Adil Dawan. That would be wonderful for, it would be wonderful for the people in Paris and in London, and of course in Almaty when they come back. Well, we're at the end of our rope, or at the end of our time, and I want to say now that when we come to the end of a podcast, we generally ask the person being interviewed to nominate for us a piece of music, a song, that conveys to him or her what it is to be from the country that's home for them. What have you found to offer us from Kazakhstan?
There is one song. It's a song's name is Toy Jure. It's a song from our Kazakh band Dos Mukasan. It's a Kazakh rock and folk band, and they established in 1967, and also they something took from Western groups like Beatles or Rolling Stones, and connected with Kazakh folk music. And this music, Toy Jure, it's a translation in the English language, it's wedding song. It's about dance, about joy, also about our hospitality. And I think this song will tell to our listeners more about my country.
If you would like to listen to the song, check out our Spotify playlist, ESPGAN's Favorite Songs.
Thank you again. And good luck in Kazakhstan and with building up pediatric gastroenterology there.
Thank you too, Alex. Many thanks for this opportunity. And listen to Official YesPagan podcast. Thank you and goodbye.